This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When we talk about climate change, we usually hear about rising sea levels and melting ice caps. But another impact of warming temperatures could damage agriculture. The United States Department of Agriculture just released a report that describes the impact of global warming on America's food supply and offers ways for farmers to adapt to the inevitable changes. The Abundance Food of the Abundance Foundation is a local sustainable food advocacy organization going to hold a conference Friday on this very subject. One of its keynote speakers is Laura Lenick. She's director of the Sustainable Agriculture Program at Warren Wilson College in Asheville and one of the lead authors of the USDA report. And she joins us now along with Tammy Sherwin, who is Tammy Sherwin is executive director of the Abundance Foundation in Pittsburgh. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Laura, tell us about the report. Give us a rough outline of what this report says.
Well, the report is the latest expression of what the state of knowledge of climate change effects on U.S. agriculture, and also, for the first time, a comprehensive look at what we know about adaptation.
That is different because we've seen a lot of reporting on climate change that suggests we need to do something about this and perhaps suggest things we can do to mitigate the effects. But this says, well, in case we don't get to that, here's what we can do to adapt to these changes.
Yeah, that is the major change. And I think it represents a new chapter in our nation thinking about climate change and what are the possible responses. Adaptation is very different for mitigation. It's more local in nature, and it basically gives us the opportunity to think about how we can both mitigate negative effects, or I don't want to use the word mitigate, how we can guard against or prepare for some of the negative effects, but also how we can take advantage of some of the benefits of climate change.
And one of the interesting things, of course, we think about climate change, and often we default to warming, global warming, a general warming up. So you think, well, all right, all those planting zones just move a little south, you know, and everything gets a little warmer, and we'll just adapt that way. But I guess what we're really seeing is erratic weather, and that is the worst thing in the world for a farmer.
Yeah. There'll be increasing variability in precipitation and temperature, which is really challenging to agricultural production. Yes, there'll be some movement north of production zones, and so different crops will become either more or less profitable depending on where you are relative to the marginal climate range of that crop. But it's the uncertainty that is really presents a challenge.
And there are costs and benefits to all of this too, right? I mean, so let's talk about some of the potential damage. Are we looking at a reduction in food supply? Are we saying this is going to hurt agriculture in a way that's going to make it harder to farm, harder to grow food overall?
Yeah. I think it's important anytime we start thinking about specific effects to remember different time frames and the kind of time frame that this report covers. We're looking 100 years ahead and about 30 to 50 years ahead. And they're definitely more, there'll be more difficult challenges in the 100-year time frame than in the 30 to 50-year time frame. So that said, I think what we're seeing in the next 30 to 50 years is not necessarily a reduction in food supply, but a change in the way food is produced and possibly a change in some of the more typical production areas. So there'll be different kinds of crops grown in different parts of the country.
And one of the interesting findings to me is that a change in the way we do things might mean less industrial agriculture and more sustainable farming. Is that right? And tell us about that.
Yeah, well, one of the findings in the report is that there's a lot of knowledge out there that the sustainable agriculture practices have a real role to play in this transformation of agriculture in the next 30 to 50 years and certainly in the longer time frame. And I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as less industrial, more sustainable, but I would say that all agricultural production systems will move towards more sustainability.
What is it about current industrial practices that makes it sort of more at risk as global warming and climate change continues?
Well, there are really pluses and minuses to every kind of production system. Some of the cost or increased risk with industrial systems would be things like the lack of diversity in the ecosystem. Monocultures have certain qualities that will make them more, there'll be more risk involved in these uncertain and variable climate effects. So that would
so
be
you're
just
planting
one example.
All soybeans, forgive me for interrupting, but sure. So if you're planting acres and acres and acres and acres of soybeans, and there's a fairly quick change in your environment and climate, yeah. you've lost your whole crop for
right.
several
you
counties.
Can, you can have if you're growing one crop, and that's a monocrop situation. If you have if you get unlucky and a particular event, weather event occurs at a specific time in that crop's life cycle, yes, you can lose the whole crop. As an example of the alternative, in more sustainable systems, there may be more diversity in crop types. So you may lose the soybeans, but if you're growing a variety of other crops, say some pasture crops, hay, different vegetable crops, then you would still have those other crops.
So, Tammy, you are holding a conference. Tell us who's attending and how well attended it might be.
Yeah, so we're a small nonprofit in Chatham County, and we focus on sustainability. And we had a very small farmer come to us and say she wanted a workshop on adaptation and how to, you know, be more resilient as a farmer. So we didn't really know where to begin, but we called all the different agricultural organizations together, CEFS and CFSA and RAFI and ALBC, and the Extension and CCCC, and they all came together, and we came up with a plan that actually led us down up the road to Laura Lenick. So it was a very organic process. We're oversold, yeah. and the enthusiasm for this and the excitement and the interest is amazing. And I think Laura mentioned that the server crashed when the report went out yesterday.
Wow. The report was released yesterday, and the server crashed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was released Tuesday afternoon, and the server, and on Wednesday, unfortunately, you couldn't get in to get the report.
So there's a lot of interest, which suggests, Tammy, that farmers have been, as you said, a farmer walks up to you and says, how do we adapt? So this must have been a concern for a while among farmers.
It has been, and I've seen it personally over the past 5 years, just the local farmers are having issues with pollination because it's so hot on summer nights, and there's so many different issues and the extreme weather events that we have. So we're really excited. This is the first conference of its kind. It's, you know, we're going to have different annual sessions. We'll have a perennial session and a livestock session. So the different conventional and sustainable ag people will be together so they can share their different ideas. It's a big conversation we're holding tomorrow.
Well, and you just said something I want to underscore. You are a group that's devoted to sustainable agriculture, but this conference includes conventional farmers and sustainable farmers.
Absolutely. So we did a lot of work reaching out to all types. I think diversity is a big message that we're going to hear, and so that means diversity of farmers and farming types will be important.
Laura, when you talked about the variety of the number of tools that we're going to need to adapt, does it require coordination? On what scale does this all get put together and promulgated?
Yeah, effective adaptation, it will require coordination all through the agricultural system in this country. So that would be from farmers all the way through to consumers and include governance, government agencies, policies and programs, researchers. The best knowledge out there on effective adaptation is that throughout the system that you're managing, in this case agriculture in this country, you need policies and programs and decisions that are going to promote effective adaptation. So it's really a system-wide change. And the change is being driven by this new challenge of the uncertainty and the unstable weather that we'll experience in the coming years.
That suggests that a lot of the solutions are going to be very local, very regional, because they'll be particular to the needs of that area, right?
Exactly. There's a kind of a standard toolbox as we understand it right now for adapting to climate change, but the specific tools will be different depending on the local conditions. So this is very much driven by local and regional problem solving, which particularly makes me excited about this conference tomorrow because it is very much being driven by local concerns and needs.
Will the solutions and adaptations that you outline in your paper come into being on when because of conferences like this? In other words, do you need state level and federal policy at some point to support whatever ideas get whatever ideas we might come to at the local level?
Absolutely. And actually, there's quite a bit of federal policy already created for effective adaptation in this country. And it is I was lead author on the adaptation chapter of this report. And it's laid out in that report. I was heartened by the amount of thinking that's going on at the federal level right now. It's not something that is really been shared to a great extent just in normal public discourse, but it's out there and it provides a great framework to begin working on this.
What about at the state level, Tammy? Have you been in touch with the State Department of Agriculture? Are they interested in this? Have they seen the report?
They are interested. They are not able to come. I think once we end our day, we can submit papers and you know research topics to them, and at that point they'll jump in.
You talked about changes, Laura, that might have to happen in terms of how agriculture is structured, perhaps more sustainable practices mixed in with our industrial practices. But why not more scientific research? Why not more genetic modification and become more nimble at that so that we can react quickly to these environmental changes?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a role for research and development. And they're part of they're one of the stakeholders or part of the community that will be involved in adapting agriculture to climate change. And there may be genetic engineering that will be useful and part of the toolbox. One of the challenges with climate change is that we may need to rethink our overall aims of creating technology and management practices because we need to manage for robust behavior rather than optimizing behavior. It's really a paradigm shift. And so we'll need to be thinking about how do we create resilient, robust cropping systems rather than, for example, the optimized systems like just-on-time delivery, which is a typical example from the business world.
So big changes like that usually suggest some very powerful political tension. Is it going to be difficult at the federal and the state level to implement some of these policies?
I don't want to speculate on that. I think that it's certainly challenging. I also think that we have policy history that can show us that when there is an important challenge, we can all pull together and make those changes happen.
What would it look like, though? I mean, obviously, Tammy, your group can come up with a lot of ideas that are very specific to North Carolina and make a lot of sense. What would you need at the state level, and what would you need at the federal level to support any of the ideas that might come from regional conferences like this?
Well, can I answer that?
Yeah,
sure.
I
think, Frank, that we're kind of bypassing that step, and we're taking it down to the level of each person can make a difference. And so we can't control what they're doing at the state level or the federal level necessarily. I mean, certainly long term. But this whole conference is about what can we, as a farmer, as a researcher, as your local sustainable advocate, do. And so this is about what we as individuals can do
for your conference. And so then my question is, if you take all that, do you need a federal policy? And what would that look like if you wanted to support the good ideas that these individuals have taken on and taken the initiative for?
I appreciate Tammy's comment because it does bring back home the idea that the strength of adaptation, the idea of adaptation, is that individuals can take actions. This is not a top-down. This will not be effective doing with top-down kind of planning and management. It is very much local and individual-based. The policies, but obviously federal and state policies can support those local actions or not. And we don't have the time really. I'd love to come back and talk about what that policy might look like. But I think we do have a good first step in that policy in the national adaptation policy that exists.
So we have at least a picture of what it might look like. What about impediments that may need to be removed? We often hear about the impact of farm subsidies and how they support the current form of agriculture. Could they go on? Could we go ahead and make these changes at the local level and not address subsidies? Or would that have to be part of the overall policy picture?
The knowledge base out there right now on adaptation would suggest that you would want to think about the whole system, the system as a whole. when you're thinking about effective adaptation options. So that would suggest that we would need to think about how to use those subsidies. We have a very powerful system of agriculture in this country, the land-grant universities, research and development, industry. We could turn some of that capacity into developing new approaches to handling climate change.
Good luck at the conference. Thank you both for being on the program today.
Thank you, Frank.
Tammy and Laura, I want to thank you. Laura Lennick is director of the Sustainable Agriculture Program at Warren Wilson College in Asheville and one of the lead authors of a USDA report on climate change and agriculture. Tammy Schwerin is executive director of the Abundance Foundation. For more information, go to theabundancefoundation.org. Just ahead, the art of Tony Scott and bloodlines. Stay with us on The State of Things.